Hello and welcome to the Friday, September 11th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. If you bought some luggage recently with a lock, you probably noticed that the lock was TSA approved. What that means is that the lock may be opened with one of seven TSA master keys. Up to now, the exact layout of these keys wasn't known until the TSA published a picture of a set of all of these keys in a relatively high resolution format in the Washington Post. As part of a story about the TSA, they just included a picture of these keys as an illustration. Of course, it didn't take long for someone to come up with the 3D printed version of these keys. With that, of course, these keys are public now. Overall, not sure how big of a deal it is. Typically, if you ever looked at any of these locks at these suitcases, they can relatively easily be picked. So I don't really think having a TSA key makes it that much easier. And Checkpoint reported about a pretty severe security vulnerability in the WhatsApp web client. This actually came up a couple days ago, but with all the patches this week, it sort of didn't make it into this podcast. The problem here is that the vCard, which is essentially the contact information that you can send to a WhatsApp contact, may include executable code. There is a code injection vulnerability that's pretty simply exploited by just adding an ampersand to the vCard's name, and with that arbitrary code can be executed on the receiver's client. This only affected the web version of WhatsApp. It did not affect any of the mobile apps that people usually use in order to communicate with WhatsApp. The problem has also been fixed pretty quickly by the WhatsApp team. Checkpoint did originally find the vulnerability on August 21st. WhatsApp fixed it in about a week on August 27th, and then Checkpoint went public with this on September 8th. Yahoo, on the other hand, apparently has a little bit of harder time working with security researchers and bug reports. Now, Yahoo does use HackerOne for its bug bounty program, so you may report bugs via HackerOne, and then you may get a reward for finding the bug. Now, this researcher who found a bug in Yahoo's Instant Messenger, first of all, found out that this particular software is not in scope. What Yahoo considers in scope are its web applications, not desktop applications or standalone applications like Yahoo Instant Messenger. Secondly, he had a hard time sort of conveying the severity of the bug to Yahoo. And finally, they are considering Yahoo Instant Messenger as end of life, which basically means that there will be no more patches for it. The bug itself is not quite super severe, but certainly could be abused for a buffer overflow. However, it does rely on the user installing a malicious emoticon file. But since Yahoo Instant Messenger is considered end of life, it's probably best to just uninstall the application. And if you ever wondered how well established some of the newer SSL ciphers are with all the hoopla that we had recently with SSL and vulnerabilities in, for example, SSL version 3, Wikipedia now made some data available. Actually, it's live data that you can watch on a dashboard that Wikipedia publishes about how many of its users use what ciphers. Interestingly, 99.5%, so that's sort of everybody, uses perfect forward secrecy, which is pretty encouraging. Means that really most people out there use a reasonably modern client. Now, 65%, as I'm looking at it right now, are using authenticated encryption with associated data, or AEAD, which is really considered best practice at this point when it comes to block ciphers like AES, which of course we all want to use. So overall, looks pretty good here, and you really, really should stop supporting SL version 3. I think these results also tell you it's not a big deal to turn it off for the average consumer. On the other hand, looks like Mac with its mail.app still doesn't support TLS 1.1 or TLS 1.2 for IMAP, which is somewhat disappointing. Same for iOS. Not clear if the next version of iOS, iOS 9, that will be released next week, actually will fix any of that. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening. Thanks to ThreatStop for supporting this podcast. And by the way, if you can find a minute, tweet about the podcast, tell a friend about it, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.